Praise God. Well, you know, I'm going to share a word that I believe is a word for us in season. And I'm so thankful that we do have an opportunity to still hear the voice of the Lord in these times. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to get right into the word of God. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Now guide us by your spirit, Lord, as we read your word, as we preach your word, as we hear your word, and even as we do your word, Father. We thank you that you are great, and we value your word to us. So now move by your spirit in its delivery. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just give the Lord a hand praise. So today in California, we are in day 69 of the shelter in place here in the Bay Area. And when this shelter in place started, I began a series entitled Trusting God in Times of Trouble. Trusting God in times of trouble. So I am continuing in that series today. And what I want to encourage us with today is hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. We are in a time where we need to hear the voice of God. In fact, there are many voices speaking today as to what should happen. And we know here just this week, we heard from the President of the United States as it regards to places opening up again and houses of worship opening up again. And so we hear the voice of the president, and oftentimes here lately, and this isn't a political statement, I stay away from politics in the pulpit. It just seems as though oftentimes the president's voice doesn't align with other voices that we hear, right? In fact, we hear the voices of governors, and sometimes the president's voice is in conflict with the voice of governors. I'll tell you, my heart has gone out to two governors in all respect. The governor of New York, I mean, I've seen some of his press conferences, and it seemed as though he was just devastated, and he still had to continue to try to guide that state into some type of stability, if you will, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and then recovery. And another governor that I've been listening to is, of course, the governor of California, because that's the state that I am in. And I'm looking at how he's managing things. And so they're the voices of governors of all states. And then there's the voices of health leaders, the voice of the national health leader, as well as our local and countywide health leaders. They have a voice with regards to this also. And what I'm finding out is, although there are several voices on the topic, it doesn't seem like everybody's saying the same thing. And it's in part because we're getting new information almost every day with regards to the impact of the virus with or the pandemic, with regards to how many people have the pandemic, with regards to how it spread. I mean, we're getting information in real time. And so I'm not saying that people are at odds and they are not agreeing because they have some fights with one another. What I'm saying is the information is so new that we're just getting it, and sometimes it just doesn't match what's being said. There's the voice of the media, which we know, and what's interesting about the voice of the media is everybody, every show has a commentator. Everybody is commenting on what they think about this pandemic. And so everybody has an opinion, and that's a voice. And then even in the midst of this, there is still the voice of Satan. The voice of Satan. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Will? Well, Satan is still speaking. In fact, I just realized there are some folks that are being duped on the internet by fake masks and fake products, fake hand sanitizer, or the promise of these things, and they never receive them. See, that's the voice of the enemy. Remember, he's a liar. We discovered that last time. He's a liar, and there's no truth in him. So his voice is even being heard in the midst of this pandemic. And then there's the voice of the crowd. And the voice of the crowd is the voice that of people that are close to you, people that are in your community, people that are in your circles, people that you're having conversations with. I was just in a conversation yesterday about the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic is having on the education system. And so there's the voice of the crowd, and everybody's speaking, ladies and gentlemen, everybody's speaking. And what's interesting is we do have to move forward in some very significant ways. So then there's the voice of self. There's my voice. The voice of self, the voice that says, well, you got to take care of this and you got to take care of that and beware of this and beware of that. And so there's lots of voices that we hear. And there's still yet one more voice, and that is the voice of the Lord, the voice of God. And the voice of God, his voice comforts, his voice guides, his voice instructs, his voice directs. And so some say, well, how can I hear God in the midst of all of these voices? Pastor Will, you named a list of people that are speaking, and you're right, because I've been hearing all of these different voices. And let me let you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you just don't know what to do. You've heard so many voices, you don't know which way to go. You don't know how to move forward. And I want to encourage you to listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice. I see some hand claps out there. Praise God. Listen to the voice of God. See, what's interesting is God is still clearly speaking. He is. The other things may drown or stop us from hearing him, but it doesn't stop him from speaking. No matter where you are in the pandemic, God is still speaking. No matter where you are, no matter what you're facing during this time, God is still speaking. No matter what has occurred in your life, God is still speaking. No matter what has happened, God is still speaking. And I just see somebody in the chat said, it doesn't, no other voices matter but God's voice. You are absolutely right. And if you are on your chat, go ahead and chat it up with me. I want to know that you're listening to me today. Hallelujah. So we want to hear the voice of God in the midst of it all. One pastor says it like this: whenever I sense that I'm getting a word from God, I don't accept it until I carefully consider whether I'm hearing from God or if I'm hearing from myself or if I'm hearing from the devil. And my overriding principle is simple. I don't do anything until I'm certain who's speaking. Hallelujah. Well, I pray that that would be your outcome also, that you don't do anything until you are certain as to who's speaking to you. So with so much going on and so many voices speaking, I want to make sure that you are able to hear from God. So what I'm going to share with you over these next sermons, 7 ways to determine if you are hearing from God. Way number one, when you have to make a decision, when you have to determine, you know, what's real and what's not, when you're hearing so many voices, the question that you want to ask yourself, does it agree with the Bible? Say that with me. Does it agree with the Bible? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. I want to show you something here. Hebrews chapter 4. This is what it says about the Word of God, which is our Bible today. For the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see that there? See, it's the Word of God that is our guide. It's the guide for the believer, but it's not a list of do's and don'ts. In fact, the Word of God actually penetrates in us to the degree that we're moved at times by the Spirit of God who resides in the believer. And when the Word of God is confirmed, if you will, by the Spirit of God, you and I can then move and act on what God is saying. Hallelujah. We can move forward because the Spirit bears witness with the Word of God that we have received. And you do as the old saints say, I know that I know that I know that this is what God is telling me to do. How many of you ever experienced that before? Oh yeah, when that Word of God and you read that Word of God, and then the Spirit bears witness with that Word of God, and you are saying, hey, I got an answer from the Lord today. I was just talking with a lady yesterday in counseling, my wife and I, and I shared something that the Lord put in my heart, and I just communicated it at that time in counseling, and all of a sudden, because we're counseling via Zoom, all of a sudden the lady was quiet and she began to weep. And I said, what's going on? And she says, when you said that, the Lord spoke in my heart that this is what I am to do. And what I share was the Word of God. So it's the Word of God that we receive, and the Holy Spirit takes that word and confirms that word. When we can see it, we can see it, ladies and gentlemen. And that's one of the ways you can determine if what you are hearing is coming from God. Does it align with the Word of God? Does it align with the B-I-B-L-E? Does it align with the Bible? See, the Bible is our constant source of information, and it is our resource for life. Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, we're just going to read one verse, and look at what it says here. Luke chapter 21, heaven and earth will what? Pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. You know what that means? That means that the Word of God is the anchor. That means everything else is going to deteriorate and leave, but the Word of God will stand forever. So if you're hearing winds or voices of change, and you're hearing voices that say do this, and voices that say do that, and voices says we're going to move forward in this way, and voices says no, we're not going to do anything at all, I want to encourage you, make sure whatever voice you're listening to, it aligns with the Word of God. Come on, give the Lord a hand, praise. You want to make sure. See, now you might say, well, Pastor Will, this is a real simple message. Well, you know, following God is simple. Did you know that? It's not esoteric and spooky and so mystic that you just can't get your bearing. No, it's simple to follow the Word of God. As someone just said, we make it hard by adding so many things to it. But I want to let you know that if you want to know if something is God-driven, God-moving, if you will, God-inspired, it will line up with His Word. Praise God. His Word will confirm it. Now, one of the major decisions that people make today is who they're going to be with. Their partner, you know, dating sites have blown up. There's so many. I hear this from, you know, secondhand information and from commercials. I've never been on a dating site. I got my date, 34 years ago, and we were married. We've been married for 32 years this year. So I already have my date, and I try to date her as often as I can. Praise God. And I just thank God for Sister Jackie. So I don't see the dating sites, but I know that dating is a multi-billion dollar industry. And what's interesting, let me let you know that God will never tell you to do something that contradicts His Word. He will, for those of you who are dating, for those of you who are looking for Mr. Right, hallelujah, you looking for Mrs. Right, you looking for that one that you believe will come alongside and compliment you as one should, as you are walking on the journey of life. As you are looking for that person, I want to encourage you to listen to the voice of God. Oh, yes. Listen to the voice of God. See, he will never tell you something that the Word contradicts. In fact, if you look with me, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. See, some people are dating the wrong people. Some of you are looking in the wrong pond. You're fishing in the wrong pond. You're looking in the wrong garden or the wrong yard. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at what the Word of God says. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Everybody see that there? Now, there are other parallels or similarities that he shares as you continue to read that verse in Scripture or that chapter in Scripture. But what he's saying is, if you are a believer, if you are born again, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he's saying, well, you want to begin to look in the ponds of other believers. Amen. You don't want to be unequally yoked. I remember I was talking to a lady here about a year or so ago, and she said, "Well, you know, I've been looking for Christian men, Pastor Will, but I just can't seem to find any. So I'm broadening my search. I'm broadening my opportunities. I'm broadening my options by looking at any men that are nice and that are pleasing." And I just wanted to underscore with her. I say, "Well, I understand logically what you're doing, but biblically, God says to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." "Oh, Pastor Will, this is a hard message. I know. I got my steel-toe boots on and I'm in the studio right now and nobody's here with me, so I think I'm safe." But this is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that he desires that we would be equally yoked, that believers would be with believers. Amen. So if you are fishing from that pond of unbelievers, I want to encourage you to change your pond, and most likely change your bait. See, you are well enough in yourself. And let me just say this for those ladies that are listening and for those men that are listening, and you're single and you are looking for that person to come along and in matrimony, and you put the ring on the finger and you enjoy the blessed of marriage. For those of you who are looking for that, look God's way. Look God's way. Now, I'll tell you what happens is it weeds out a lot of people. Remember, Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction," and there's lots of people who find it. But narrow is the way to the kingdom. Narrow is the way to eternal life, right? And so that means you are on that narrow path, and you're looking on that narrow path for that person that you believe God is going to bring to your life. Don't stop looking, but I want to encourage you to keep looking on the narrow path. Oh, I want to encourage somebody's hearing this now, and you say, "Pastor Will, thank you so much, because I was thinking about looking in other areas, but you have confirmed with me today that God hasn't forgotten about me, and he wants me to stay focused on his will for my life." And I want to encourage you with that. Stay focused on God's will for your life, because his will is better than our will. Oh, yes, he knows us 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. God knows us. I only know me from my history, from my past, from the things that has happened in my life. God knows my future. So I would rather trust in the one who knows my future and allow him to guide me to that appropriate person. Amen. And let me let you know that appropriate person will be a believer also. If you are a believer, I want to encourage you to look for a believer. Now, does that mean that they have to walk the way you walk and pray the way you pray and read the way you read? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that your God is their God. There's the numerator may be different, but the denominator is the same. And for those of you who do math, you know it doesn't matter what the numerator is in fractions. As long as the denominator is common, it will always work out. So it doesn't mean that they do exactly what you do. And let me just say this, because I know that there's some believers that are like judging their spouses because, "Well, she don't read as much as I read, or he doesn't pray as much as I pray." Oh, well, thank God that they're a believer. Well, I want to encourage you to pray for them. Pray for them that God would intervene in their lives the way you would like, but then pray for yourself that you would see them through God's lens. Oh, glory to God. that you would see your spouse, your believing spouse, that you would see your spouse through God's lens. Why? Because God is God. I'm not God. I didn't determine how many hours a person should pray, how much my wife should spend in the Bible. I haven't determined that. That's between her and her God. And so when you are a believing spouse and you're measuring your spouse by your activity, I want to encourage you to stop right now in Jesus' name. Pray for your spouse and allow God to determine with your spouse how they will walk together, praise God, how they will commune together, how they will be in intimacy together. So God will not lead you in areas that contradict his word. He wants you to be equally yoked. And so that brings us to another situation that's very, very popular today, and that is God will not lead you into sexual immorality. He will not lead you into the old school term is fornication. Amen. He will not lead you. King James says fornication. New King James, NIV, and some of the newer translations call it sexual immorality. And I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now remember, we're talking about hearing the voice of God, and we're hearing the voice of God in a very, very major area of decision making, and that is who my partner will be and how am I going to engage with my partner. And it says this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 3, and we're going to read from verse 3 down to verse 5 for those of you who are taking notes. He says, for this is the will of God. Everybody see that there? So here we're having an opportunity to see the direct will of God. Sometimes we say, well, what's the will of God? And we may have to look at other passages to determine God's will. But here, this isn't inferred. This is implied. This is the implied will of God. Look at what it says. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, and not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Everybody see that there? So here we're discovering one of the ways to listen to the voice of God is to make sure it aligns with his word. Now, there's times that I mentioned earlier on that there's the voice of self. And the voice of self oftentimes is manifested by how you feel. Oh, it just feels so right. It just feels like this is the one. It just feels like this is the appropriate thing. Some people are not married, but they say, well, I've been with this person for so long, and it feels so right. We're just kind of married in God's eyes. No, you're not married till you get a marriage license, and you put the ring on the finger to show that, amen? And so let me just help you with that. God is not going to move you in some way that violates his word. If you're saying, well, you know, I know we're kind of living together, and the old folks call it shacking. I see some of my older, more senior members on the call on the Zoom here today, and they used to call it shacking. I didn't know what shacking was. I heard about it because I was doing it at some point in time in my life. I didn't know what it was, and they called it shacking. I said, oh, that's an old people thing. That's just the old folks. They just talk about shacking. Well, let me bring you up to the 2020s. It's really like living together, friends with benefits. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's like going into the cookie jar whenever you want to, for those of you who know what I'm saying. And here, see, the Bible, God will not lead you to shack. Oh, praise God. God will not lead you to put your hands in the cookie jar. He will not lead you to snack. He will not lead you to test the merchandise, to try before you buy. I'm trying to make it clear here, if you understand what I'm saying. See, he will not lead you to do that because it's against his word. Oh, do I have a witness in here today? It's against his word. And so you want to be clear when you're talking about hearing from God. Well, does it agree with the Bible? Does it align with his word. Now, let me just say this, because I am not speaking from a podium of judgment and condemnation. I am not. What I'm doing is I'm saying what the word of God says. I'm sharing with you what God says, but I'm also going to give you a way to make it right. So you say, Pastor Will, you know what? Nobody's touched on this the way you have, and you're right. I've been doing this, or I'm living this way, or I've been fishing in the wrong pond. Well, let me help you right now. And first of all, God's grace is sufficient for you. Did you know that? He loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, what you may be doing is not aligned with his plan, but let me let you know that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And guess what? He does that as soon as you do. I was counseling with a couple here a few weeks ago, and they explain their situation, that they're living together. And so I asked, hey, are you having sex? I just wanted to ask, because I'm a pastor that really has to, you know, get to the bottom of things. And they gave me their answer, which was affirmative. And I said, okay, well, let me ask you this, because I am not going to force anybody to do what the Bible says. What I asked was, are you willing to do it God's way? See, that has to be something that a person is willing to do. Are you willing to do it God's way? And they thought about it, and they thought about it, and I heard from both. And they say, yes, we want to do it God's way. And I say, okay, well, the way you do it God's way is you are to separate, at least stop having sex. Amen. Stop. And if you can move out of the house, move. But if you can't, go ahead and one of you live in the front of the house and you are the other live in the back of the house. Amen. I hope I'm making it plain for you. See, what you want to do is you want to stop so that you are at a place from which God can now work with you. A place where God can, he can say, okay, son, daughter, you've made a commitment to trust me. You've made a commitment to stop doing what you were doing and to trust me. Now I'm going to show myself strong on your behalf. Oh, glory to God. Give the Lord a hand, praise. See, sometimes we're not in a place for God to intervene because we're in sin. We're in a place where he said, I want you to come out. Remember, he says, come out from among them. In fact, in the same passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he goes on and he says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And see, I can work with you when you've taken yourself out of this place that you knowingly and willingly know that is sinful. When you decide to come out of that, I will work with you. So let me just help those of you, you say, Pastor Will, I am in this place where, you know, I know that I'm not right. I know I'm not doing right. I hear that a lot of times. I know I'm not doing right, but God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows your heart, and he's giving you his word also. But his word is not grievance. It's not grievous. What he's saying is you can find ways to make it right with God as you are seeking God. And so that couple decided, okay, we're just gonna separate. It's impossible for us to not live in the same place, Pastor Will. That's what it's saying. Okay, so, but you can, one can live in the front of the house and the other can live in the back of the house, and there's no hanky-panky, amen? that has to stop if you wanna do it God's way. If you want God to intervene, oh, praise God. I pray that you're getting that. See, this is not a message of condemnation and judgment. Oh, you just don't. No, this is, okay, this is what's happening. This is how God sees it. And this is how you can make it right. And he will intervene in your life. Give the Lord a hand, praise. So, number one, how do I know that I'm listening to the voice of God? Well, does it agree with the Bible? And if there's anything that I'm listening to or any voice that I'm listening to that does not agree with the Bible, I need to put that on hold. I need to put that somewhere else. I'm not saying just totally discarded, but I can't be motivated by what I just heard because it does not align with the Word of God. I know that that is a voice, but that's not the voice that I am going to follow. Amen. So number one, how do we get used to hearing the voice of God? How do we know the voice of God? Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Number two, will it make me more like Jesus? Let me say that again. Number two, will it make me more like Jesus? See, Jesus is the standard for you and I. Jesus is the standard by which we are to live. It's Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that throughout life, as we are on this journey, that God the Father is conforming us into the image of his dear Son. So is this voice that I'm hearing, does it have the capacity to make me more like Jesus? Is this recommendation that I'm receiving, does it make me more like Jesus? This step that they're saying I need to take, will it make me more like Jesus? Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 shows us a great example of this. See, what we're asking when we say, is it going to make me more like Jesus? We're really saying, is it going to produce the right fruit in my life? Is it going to produce the right? Will I be like Christ? Will I be made like Christ if I follow this voice? And John 15 says this in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But look at the other branches here. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it will bear more fruit. Everybody see that there? Now, some of you know I have a plum tree, and I've been talking about my plum tree a little lately, and some of you, you're going to hear just a little bit of my plum tree again, but it's a great illustration because I can see my plum tree in my bathroom or in my bedroom. I have a window. I look out at my plum tree every morning, and I see the plums are growing, and I have more plums on that tree this year than I ever have in the existence of the tree. That's saying a lot. There's a lot of plums on that tree, and they're still green, but they're going to be turning red or purple, and red and then purple, and they're going to be good. And I'm going to be probably reaching out to some of you all, because Sister Jackie and I have already said we don't have the means of managing that many plums. I'm going to have to give a lot of plums away. So, but what's interesting about that is I pruned it really, really hard. I pruned it hard a few years ago, and after I pruned it, I mean, I cut branches. I didn't know, I didn't have a guide, and you know, I'm just doing the best I can. So, so I pruned the tree, and I cut it real hard, and that next year there was no fruit on it at all. And then the following year, I had like maybe two or three fruit, and then the following year there was more. But this year, I'll tell you, it is laden with fruit, and it's because I pruned it as hard as I did when I did prune it, and it's bearing more fruit. And the thing that I like about my fruit tree is that fruit is for me. It's not for the tree. Some people think that the fruit that God bears in you is for you. No, it's for those that come in contact with you. It's for those that you are in relationship. It's for those that you engage with. See, I love Jesus is saying, every branch that bears fruit, the Father prunes it that it will bear more fruit. So throughout life, we should be producing fruit. Throughout our Christian journey, we should be producing fruit. So the voices that I'm hearing, the things that are moving me, are they moving me to be more like Jesus? Are they moving me to produce more fruit? And you say, well, Pastor Will, what kind of fruit should I be producing? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 5, because Galatians chapter 5 gives us a clear ideal, if you will, of the type of fruit that you and I should bear as we are on this Christian journey, as we are walking hand in hand with our God. Galatians chapter 5. I want you to turn there with me in your Bible, if you have that in your Bible, Galatians chapter 5, because you want to highlight this. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. See, This is fruit that the Holy Spirit makes in you, if you will. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Everybody see that there? So will I be able to operate in love, or will this improve my ability to love? I mean, you want to ask yourself these kinds of questions when you're talking about, or when you're listening to voices and hearing the voice of God. Is this an opportunity for me to display the love of God? See? Look at what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy. Look at that. Peace, long-suffering. And we're going to come back to that peace later on in a couple of messages from this point on. But here, that joy that means that I'm stable regardless of what's going on around me. I'm not moved by the things that I see. And I'm at this good place with God, and His joy is my strength, right? That peace. And look at this, long-suffering. Oh, Pastor Will, why did God have to include long-suffering as a fruit? Well, because what it does is it helps you and I to not be driven by the flesh. It helps you and I to be motivated by the Spirit of God. And as we're motivated by the Spirit of God, and those fleshly branches begin to grow, remember what He'll do is He'll prune that, and He'll even prune the fruit, and so that we would even bear more fruit. So He says this, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Oh, I hope you're seeing this in your Bible. Gentleness. And look at self temperance is the King James, but it's really self-control, the New King James says. See, this is fruit of the Spirit. And these are characteristics of the fruit that should be growing in you and in me. So when I'm listening to these voices, will it make me more like Christ? Will it produce in me the fruit of the Spirit? He says, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And verse 24 says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Everybody see that? Oh, I see your hands out there. You see that there? So here, you want to ask yourself, hey, I'm listening to this voice. I'm listening to this recommendation. I'm hearing what the folks are saying. Will this make you more like Christ? Is this an ability to produce fruit in your life? And if the answer is yes, you are more likely hearing from God during that time than not. And the third point that I'd like to make today, the third thing that we can do to make sure that we're hearing from the voice of God, or the third question we can ask. So number one, does it agree with the Bible, right? Number two, will I be more like Jesus? Number three, does my church family confirm it? Does my church family confirm it? I like to say it this way. Does my church family confirm it? Those in my spiritual community, are they aware of it? And can they identify and confirm what's going on? Now, let me just let you know this. Some of you are saying, well, Pastor Will, I don't have a church community. Well, first of all, I want to encourage you to find one. You need a church community. If you are a believer, you need to be connected. And I'm going to share with you just in this point some of why you need to be connected. But let me let you know, you need to be connected to a church community in ways that you can engage with people there. And let me let you know, it doesn't have to be like the perfect church, because soon as you find the perfect church, when you join it, it's going to become imperfect, isn't it? See, you're not going to find the perfect church. And I know that several people have had what's called church hurts, where, you know, you're going to church and maybe some leader overlooked you, or maybe some people talked about you, or maybe you had a situation that they didn't see as valuable enough to engage with you about. And maybe you're hurt. I mean, and maybe it's a hurt that I have not identified. I just know that these things take place in the church. And I'm not excusing these things away, by the way. I think we as spiritual leaders should know the flock, as the Bible says. We should know the flock and tend to the flock and be careful with the flock as well. However, there's going to be times that we as fallible human beings will let other human beings down. That's a characteristic of us being in this flawed world, being flawed humans that are saved by grace through faith. Amen. So I'm not excusing away that experience that you may have experienced, but I will say, try to find a place. Sometimes a little small church is one of the best places where you can be, where you can get good attention from a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching pastor and from those that are being discipled by the Word of God, and they are more inclined to allow the Word of God to be their guide than their emotions to be their guide. And so you want to be able to hear from God through those in your church community. Look at what Ephesians chapter 4 says. I've shared this before, but it begs to be shared again here in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, because what it does is it shows us that God has instituted the church so that you and I have a place to connect, and we also have a place to grow. Look at what it says, Ephesians chapter 4, and he, meaning Jesus, he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Everybody see that there? And look at what it says. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There it is there. See, God has said in his divine sovereignty, in his supernatural wisdom, he has said the church is the place for my people to grow. The world is the place for my people to experience experiences that will stimulate that growth, that will give them opportunities to grow. But the church is the place that I have ordained for people to get what they need to grow. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand, praise. I see some of you out there, you preaching me on, and I really appreciate you doing that. Here, God is saying you need to be connected. Now you say, well, Pastor Will, I'm not connected. I've said it before. Now, and I'm gonna carefully say this. If you are not a member of any church, let me just say this. If you don't belong to any church and you have been participating in our stream, in our online services, what I want to encourage you to do, keep participating. Keep connecting in this way so you can hear from God, and you can hear from God, and hopefully I can connect with you, or maybe some others from our church can connect with you, and that can help you to determine where you need to go. See, I'm not saying you have to come to Impact Church, even though I'd love that, but see, you want to be led by God. We're just the conduit, if you will, at this time in your life to help you make a godly decision as to what church you're going to join, because you need to join a church. You need to be part of a body of believers where they can help you grow. They can help you understand the things of God. You can be discipled. You can be ministered to. You can serve in ways that you can only grow in serving. You can minister in ways that you can only grow by ministering. You can even evangelize in ways that you can only grow through evangel. See, there's a lot of things that God has for us as believers to do, and those things take place primarily as we are equipped in our local assembly. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tried to get that out in a very careful way. We're not trying to get folks to join our church. Now, if you say, Pastor Will, I don't have a church and I've been participating on this online environment and I want to be a part of Impact, praise God. In fact, I'll even let you do that. You can do that, and we'll find ways to connect you. I know we have some folks that made that commitment in different states, and I've been praying. I say, Lord, well, how can we connect them to ministry in their area and they still be a part of Impact Church? And God has been giving me some ways to maybe give you opportunities when the shelter in places are lifted. Maybe we can mobilize you to evangelize in your area, or to serve in your area, or to help someone who's needy in your area as you're still connected to Impact Church. Amen. So there's ways that it may be able to take place, but God is in control of that. My point here is, if you want to hear from God, you need to be at a place where people can confirm that God is truly speaking to you. Oh, glory to God. I'm liking this. If I was on the other side, I'd have my handkerchief. I'd be waiting waving it at Pastor Will right now. You preaching, Pastor Will. Glory to God. See, that's what we want. We want to be able to connect because you need to belong. We are communal by nature. That's why Jesus calls us, or he refers to us as sheep. Sheep do not exist individually. They exist in herds. They thrive in herds. When a sheep is off to itself, it can wither away, it can become malnourished, and it can die. But when it's with a herd of other sheep, or flock, excuse me, when it's with a flock of other sheep, it thrives. It knows its place. It knows why it's created, if you will. It does the things that other sheep do, and other sheep kind of nudge it along the way. And if it's in trouble, another sheep will go over there and kind of brush it away from the birds, and then other sheep will have their ears up, you know, looking for predators. When you're with the flock, see, there's safety with the flock. Look at what 1 Thessalonians says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oh, I hope you're enjoying this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at what it says here. And this is Paul, and he's speaking to the church at Thessalonica. Look at what he says. Therefore, comfort each other. Everybody see that there? Comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. See, that's the place for you and me. For us as believers, we are comforted at the church. We are edified by members of the church. And let me clarify, I say at the church. Well, we know that we're not at the church right now. We are the church, and you are comforted by believers. You are encouraged by believers. You are edified by believers. Those believers that you are in contact with regularly. I know there are some people say, well, you know, I don't have a particular church. I just go from church to church to church to church. And I just kind of do that. That's kind of like my thing. Well, I hear what you're saying, but God didn't plant. You don't see trees jumping from yard to yard to yard to yard. That'd be interesting to see a tree like my plum tree back there, right? It's getting nourished here. It's getting fed here. I mean, it's getting all that it needs to blossom and produce fruit. I don't see my plum tree trying to uproot and jump to my neighbor's yard. Oh, I just go from church to church. No, I want to encourage you. Don't just go from church to church. Find that place where God can plant you. And let me let you know, I know there's a few people on the call, and one that I know very dearly. She's planted at a church. She is thriving in her church. She loves her church, and she still participates on our call. She loves her church, and she will be the first to say, I didn't know that I would join a church like this. See, think about that. See, it's not about what we're familiar with. It's about where God wants us to be. It's about where he wants us to serve, where he wants us to grow, where he wants us to learn, where he wants us to be edified, where he wants us to be supported. And you know what? She gets all of that at her church. Oh, glory to God. Don't look for a church that has all people just like you, a whole lot of you in there. If there's a whole lot of you in there, I would say that's probably not the church to join. Glory to God. I want some diversity. I love Impact Church, by the way. We're a diverse church. We got a little bit of everything, and we try to mix it up with our music also. You know, have a little bit of gospel, a little bit of contemporary, a little bit of this, a little old, a little new. We try to do it all. Now, we may miss it sometimes, but we're trying. Why? Because God is saying, I want you to find a place that I have for you where you can grow. You can be planted, you can learn, you can be discipled, you can serve, you can help, you can be supported, and then in turn, you can minister, you can evangelize, you can learn how to share your faith, you can grow, glory to God. And let me just say this, I'm trying to move on, but the Holy Spirit just ain't giving me that opportunity. Let me just say this, if you are at a church where you can't grow, where these things that I'm talking about are foreign to you, I want to encourage you. You need to start looking. Oh, Pastor Will, are you telling people to leave their churches? No, what I'm saying is get fed. What I'm saying is grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is receive the support that's found in the body of Christ. What I'm saying is find a place where you can be edified and you can grow and you can work with others to fulfill the Great Commission, to fulfill the commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I want to encourage you. That's what you want to do. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even into the end of the ages. And if you are not getting that from your church, I want to encourage you to get what you need to get from God and allow the Lord to guide you to where you can thrive in a spiritual community. Oh, praise the Lord. I got to give Pastor Will a hand praise on that. Glory to God. I feel like I'm preaching here. Here, you want to make sure. You want to make sure that you are growing, that you are thriving. And it may not look like what you want it to look. Oh, they don't sing the kind of songs I'm used to. So what? Are they worshiping? Hallelujah. Are they praising? Are their hearts pure? Are they seeking God? Well, you know, the preacher, he don't kind of had an organ and they kind of dry. Okay, well, let me ask you, are you getting fed? Are you getting the word? Are you getting what you need? See, it may not have all of the elements that you used to. Now, I'm not saying that it would be devoid of all elements. I'm not saying that you can't get some of the things that you've grown to like in your Christian tradition. I'm not saying to forsake all, but what I'm saying is it's not going to be exactly what you want, but it'll be exactly what God has for you. And I pray that you are able to do that. Let me do this, and I'm going to sew this one up, and we'll just continue this next time. I love to see we are to comfort one another. In fact, when I heard about the latest recommendations from our national government, and then our local government as far as to when churches can reopen, they're using that term reopen. And when I heard that, I watched the news, and then I heard some things. Remember, see, I'm hearing all these voices. And so I began to pray, Lord, what do you want us as Impact to do? And what God reminded me of, he says, well, I want you to connect with two other pastors. One is Pastor Breckney Shaw, pastor of East Bay Christian Fellowship in San Leandro. And the other is Pastor Abraham. Some of you know him. He pastors Missions of Compassion in Castro Valley. And the three of us are really close. And he says, I want you to connect with them and have a discussion with them. And as the three of us discussed what reopening looks like, and there was this timeline of the, you know, some pastors are doing it on the 31st and then some are doing it beyond that. And we all discussed that. And as the three of us discussed it was as if the Holy Spirit was speaking through the three of us to the three of us. Everybody got that? It's like God began to give us all strategies, if you will, ways that we can move forward under his care, under his guidance. And you know, I just want to let you know, if just look with me at Proverbs chapter 11, because this is what happened when the three of us pastors met together. This is a fulfillment, if you will, of this passage of scripture that we're going to look at. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at it with me. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 14. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Look at what it says. It says this in Proverbs 11, 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Everybody see that there? See, when we just go off half-cocked, we have the potential of falling. Where there's no counsel, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I shared that with one of the pastors in our triumphant, the three of us meeting. And we were all so appreciative that God had put it on our hearts to discuss it, because we all got a better bearing. And all of us spoke from a different perspective, by the way. We heard from the healthcare, because one of the pastors is a chaplain for a large healthcare institution here in the Bay Area. And so he was talking about all of the incidences that he saw where people would go to the hospital for one thing and end up with COVID-19. And so he interjected some things that we hadn't seen. and then the other is a counselor, a marriage and family therapist, and he's been busy this whole time with clients, and he's been sharing the mental health aspect of this. And these are two perspectives that Pastor Will didn't have, right? So here we begin the talk, and God began to answer. Then I met with our ministry team, and our ministry team has been meeting every week so that we can look at how we are going to reopen. Why? Because in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And if you are hearing from God, that will be confirmed by those in his church that you are connected with. Hallelujah. See, I pastor a non-denominational church, but I am not a lone ranger by any means at all. I am connected. I'm connected to my peer pastors, and I'm connected to my mentor pastor, whom we met with yesterday on Zoom, and he was sharing, and he has a multi-hundred or thousand member membership, and some of the other pastors on the call, thousands of members. We're not in the thousands yet, but I'm fine where we are. But the point here is that they were talking about they were going to listen to the voice of God. They're not going to listen to all these other voices. They're going to listen to the voice of God as to when to open and as to how to reopen. Why? Because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. In fact, in our last call here, we were still gleaning from one another what God was saying to one another. And that can only happen when you're connected to other believers. See, I want to ensure that you are hearing from God when it comes to whatever you do. And for me, I'm making sure I hear from God because lives are at stake. I dare not open the door and say, hey, everybody, come on back. And then something begins to happen to someone that could have been prevented if we only would have waited. See, this is not a faithless statement. This is not a faithless sermon. This is a statement that's backed up by faith. I have faith in God, and he's going to do whatever it is that he wants to do. But I'm going to follow his lead as he does what it is that he wants to do. I don't want God to be my cleanup man. Oh, glory to God. We move back into some situation, and now we pray, oh, Lord, heal so-and-so and fix this and fix that. No, I don't want God to be the cleanup man. I want God to be my guide as I move forward. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand, praise. See, now some of you are used to him being the cleanup. You go and do something. Oh, Lord, fix this. Oh, Lord, fix that. Well, I am not praying that prayer because I am not moving in that direction. Hallelujah. Let me close this up. See, now let me just say this, that there are some people that don't want to hear from God. And I understand that. There's some who don't. In fact, the Proverb chapter 18, look at what it says. Proverb chapter 18, verse 1. And I want you to see this so that you can be on guard against doing things solo. You could be on guard against doing things yourself. Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. It says this, a man who isolates himself does what? Seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgment. You see that there? Some people say, I don't need to go to a church. I'm fine out here doing what I want to do. I get that. I understand that. And I'm not even judging you. I'm just saying that, you know, you probably just want to do what you want to do. And that's okay, too. God doesn't make us do what he desires we do. And he definitely doesn't make us do his will. But for those of you who may be on the fence or may not understand that dynamic and have made listen to a voice that says, oh, you're okay the way you are. No, God is saying you need to connect. You need to belong. You need to be incorporated or assimilated, if you will, into a body where you can grow and you can get fed. Let me just say this, and then I'm going to close out on this. Members of the church help us to grow. They do. They help us to grow. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and this is our final scripture for today. Ephesians chapter 4. We were there earlier in verse 11 and 12. Now we're going to drop down to verse 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Look at what it says. But speaking the truth in love. See, when we are together in a body, see, we have an opportunity to speak the truth in love. Now, we can't do that if we don't have relationship with one another, because the levels of communication of love, speaking the truth in love, those are intimate levels of communication. And you and I don't enter those intimate levels of communication when we just first meet people. We're on the surface with how's your day and how's the weather and, you know, how was the line in the grocery store? That's superficial. That's surface level. When you are connected and connected regularly, then you can grow into those deeper levels of communication. And look at what it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, all of us, every joint has something to bring to the table. Even you who are looking for a church, guess what? They're looking for you too. They're looking for you because every joint brings something to the table. Every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. You see that there? So I've been saying, if you're not connected, you want to be connected. And one of the reasons you want to be connected, because they're looking for you. God has a hole, if you will. I'll say it that way. I know some of you might send me an email, but I'll say it this way. God has a spot for you. That's a better way of saying it. God has a spot for you at a church that you're going to discover, and that spot can only be filled by you. That's what this scripture said. That spot can only be filled by you. So it's not, you're not going to step into somebody else's ministry. You're not going to step into somebody else's lane. What you're going to do is God is opening things up specifically for you. He says, every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share and causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everybody see that there? So of the tests that we've discovered, we've talking about seven, but we've only talked about three, and I knew we would. Number one, how, if I'm hearing from God, does it agree with the Bible? Does it agree with the Bible? Number two, does it make me more like Jesus? Am I going to bear fruit if I follow this instruction? If I'm really hearing this, will it lead me into bearing fruit? Number three, are those in my spiritual community, in my church, can they confirm what I'm hearing? Can they say, you know what? Based on what you're saying, I believe God is doing that in your life. Because I know you. I know we've seen you. And it doesn't mean you get up in front of the whole church like doing testimony. So, hey, I got a decision I got to make. I just want to know everybody what y'all think. No, praise God. That's not what we're saying. But we are saying that there's some in that church that should be connected to you where they can hear your voice and they can say, you know, I can see how God would do that. Let me pray with you on that. And let's touch bases next week or next month or whatever the case. Let's touch bases and see what God has said. I'm going to be praying about it. And if he gives me something for you, I'm going to share it with you. And you let me know what he's saying to you also, because now I'm partnering in prayer with you about this so that we can see if this is God's will for you. Everybody got that? Oh, get a Lord a hand, pray. See, this is what we want to do. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good. And we thank you for this opportunity to just hear your word and hear the clarity of it, Lord. That it's not spooky. In fact, it may offend because it offends itself, but it's not intended to be offensive. But it's intended to be gracious. It's intended to draw people to you, for you're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And Lord, right now, I pray that those that have heard this sermon, Lord, this message, this word from you, that they will make up in their minds and in their hearts to follow you at all cost. Some have been listening to other voices and were on the verge of following other voices, but have discovered through this sermon that it hasn't met the criteria that we've discussed so far. So I pray, Father, that you would keep them in your holding pattern before they make the decision, Lord, and that you would inform them, equip them, empower them, speak to them in ways that they could hear you clearly and do your will. I pray for those, Lord, who have discovered that they might be out of your will through this sermon. They've discovered that they may have put the cart before the horse or the eggs before the basket. And I pray that your graciousness would be seen to them, and that you would lovingly move them into right standing with you. Some people say, I need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, you're right. If you have not done that, that's the first place, or the first way to be in good standing with God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So that might be you. You might be saying, yes, I want to accept Jesus Christ. Well, you know, the very fact that you're saying that means that the Holy Spirit has drawn you to this place of accepting His plan for you. And what you're going to say, what you're going to pray, just confirms it. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. And if you're saying, I want to receive Jesus Christ, I want a relationship with God, and that happens through Jesus Christ, and you're saying you want that, pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died and you were buried, and God raised you on the third day so that I could be saved. Thank you for your salvation. Now I invite you into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Now fill me with your Spirit also so that I can allow you to live life through me. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you've made that commitment, just let me see your hand go in the air. Hallelujah. I see a couple of hands there. Praise God. See, that's what I'm talking about here. What we want to do is we want to give ourselves to God in ways that He desires, not in ways that we think should happen. And let me just pray this last prayer, and then we're gonna do a little fellowshipping here. Just pray with me. Father, thank you. And as we continue in prayer, I pray for the one who says, I need to repent. Lord, I know you. I received Jesus, but I've been doing things my way, and I've been sinning along the way, and asking that you be the cleanup man, asking that you come and clean it up. And Lord, I desire now to let you lead me instead. And if that be you, I'm going to pray this prayer with you. And I just want you to agree with me. See, your heart is already saying, yes, that's what I want, Pastor Will. I'm tired of asking God to fix this and come behind me and that. Now I want him to lead me. I want him to lead me. If that be you, pray this with me. Father God, forgive me of doing things my own way. Now I surrender to you, to your plan and your purpose for my life. Fill me with your Spirit that I would be sensitive to your voice. Give me the courage to make some decisions that other people may not understand, but you're motivating me to make. Strengthen me in my inner man, so that I can draw from you what I need to live life here. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I pray you prayed that prayer, and that now you are in that place where God can work with you. If you need to make some decisions right away, I want to encourage you to do it. Don't wait. Don't wait. I want to encourage you to make those decisions where God can meet you right there. It's not that God isn't God. It's just that sometimes when we're in some places that we know we shouldn't be, it's very difficult for him to work in that. In fact, the psalmist says, all of God's works are done in truth. And as long as you've been true, hey, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Amen. So, Father, thank you for what our ears have heard, for what our eyes have seen, and for what has entered into our hearts today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that made it really plain to us, Lord. And we thank you for this medium by which we have to continue to worship you, this medium of Zoom, Lord. Thank you for everybody that's on the call. Meet them at the point of their need in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand, praise.
We're making impact as we sing his praise.